Right, we start in the Mishnah at the bottom of Lamed Aleph Amud Bet. Mishnah begins, Kol Apsulim Sheshachtu Shchitan Kisheiras. So this is what we saw already. That anybody who is normally Pasul for Avodah, who does Shchita, their Shchita is totally fine. Sheach Shchita Kisheira Bizarim, is that anybody's a non-Kohen. Binashim, and that non-Kohen would only include Charim, because only male Kohenim do the Avodah in the Mikdash. Now we have women, Vavadim Utmeim. All these people would normally or otherwise be pasul for avodah and the mikdash are all qualified to do shchita. Va'afilu b'kodshei kodashim. Not only of shchita of kodshei kalim, but even the shchita of kodshei kodashim, they're able to do. Ubilvat lo yu tmeim nogim b'basar. The only condition here is if tmeim are doing it, that they can't actually touch the kodesh. If they actually touch the basar, they'll be mitamei the basar. Now, what type of tamei we're talking about here is someone who's only tamei tumat sheretz. Someone who's tamei something that will not otherwise be mitamei kelim. Because if you're tamei tamei mate, then you'll be mitamei the kli, the knife, and then the knife is touching the basar, so it doesn't help you. What you need is some sort of tumah, that which tumah doesn't pass to the kli, and since it doesn't pass to the kli, you can do the shchita without being nogea b'basar. So that's just the qualification of what type of tumah we're talking about. It has to be a level by which that it's not mitameh kelim. If you look in Rashi, it says tumah, mitameh sheretz, kamar, shein mitameh kli, delav avatumahu, one. Or what's your suggestion, speak about the plastic. Oh, mitameh meit, gon shibada kromit shel kaneh. That he didn't use a knife. He used a kaneh, a sharp kaneh, to do the shchita, which is not mekabel tumah, v'shachat ba. Avo v'sakin lo, but if he uses a regular kli, a regular knife, then he'd be mitameh the kli. So exactly your suggestion, if you use something that's not mekabel tumah, then he will have that advantage and he could do it. But you have to create it in a way that the tumah is not being passed inadvertently to the basar, only by direct negiyah would it create the tumah. Lefikach, this also we've seen earlier, which is, hein poslin b'machshava. So they, because they are re'uyin to do the shchita, therefore, they're also empowered to cause problems with their machshava. That you can have a machshev d'chutz l'zmano, or chutz l'mkomo, at the time of shchita, if you're a kasher l'sot shchita, then you're also kasher, quote-unquote, to create a psul in the animal. That you can also have a machshev d'chutz l'zmano and chutz l'mkomo. So far, the Mishnah, we've quoted this earlier, should be familiar. Now, next piece of it, which is also something we quoted back on Chavov, v'chulan shikvelu at adam chutz l'zmano v'chutz l'mkomo. If either, chulan here is referencing back to the kolah psulim here. So any of these psulim that do kabbalat adam, now by kabbalat adam they are psulim. They are no longer any good. Because shchita they're allowed to do, mikabbalah ve'elech, which we'll see in the Gemara, is all din in the kohanim. If any of them did that, yesh dama nefesh. If there's leftover dama nefesh, yachzora kasher v'yikabel. Then he should go back, the kasher, meaning the kohen will go back and redo the kabbalat adam. As long as there's dama nefesh, he can redo the kabbalat adam and do it properly. If a kasher kohen, do the kabbalat adam. So this again, we quoted earlier, the Gemara was trying to determine about the ability to rectify the actions of someone who was pasul, whether it was gichwe, whether you can rectify, is there tikuna? And then the next piece was the one we brought about, whether there's holacha. Does holacha have to be or not to be? And here we have kibela kasher. The kohen did the kabbalat adam. Then v'natan lipsul, he gave it to someone who was not proper, not a kohen, to do the holacha. Yachzir the kasher. Then he has to return it to a kasher. There we had in the Gemara before, if you remember, that whether it was yachzir or yachzor, depending on the gear, so whether you believe halacha is necessary or not, so it's yachzir the kasher or yachzor the kasher, or seemingly you can rectify the situation. The Gemara wants to make a proof to this, that you can rectify an avodah that's done improperly. The Gemara says, how do you know that the yachzir over here means that he moved forward? Maybe he moved backwards and he's not rectifying anything, because the person did not walk towards the Mizbeach, he walked away from the Mizbeach. If he walks away from the Mizbeach, then you're simply taking it from him and then taking it to the Mizbeach. He didn't do any avodah at all. So the Gemara says, you have no proof from here that he's really rectifying the avodah. It may not have been that the avodah was done improperly. It may not have been done at all. Because halacha only applies when you're walking to the Mizbeach, not when you're walking away. Just a quick refresher of what we saw earlier. Why this Mishnah was quoted as a proof in those situations, those circumstances. The next one is, Kibel b'yamino. He did kabbalat adam with his right hand. V'natan l'smolo. And then gave it to his left hand. Yechzir l'mino. Just give it back to the right hand. Kibel b'kli kodesh. He did it kli sharet for kabbalat adam. V'natan. And then he poured it into a kli chol. Yechzir the kli kodesh. Then he brings it back. Put it back to kli kodesh. And you continue with the avodah. nishpach min akli al ritzpa. So this again we've seen before, the differentiation. We saw the case of nishpach al ritzpa, where he does the shchita and the blood falls directly on the ritzpa. That's problematic. On the other hand, in the situation where there's a kli, that we talked about when the kli, the bottom of the kli fell out, whether that was really considered a kabbalah or not a kabbalah, and you wanted to know what the nafkamina is, this is the nafkamina. If it ends up in a kli and then on the ground, you can be a safo v'kasher. Gather it up, put it back in the kli, and go on. It's fine. If it falls on the ground first, and there is no kabbalah in a kli, then it's pasul from the start, because there was no kabbalah ta'adam. So here there was kabbalah ta'adam in a kli. It falls on the ground, you can gather it up and take it on. Now, to know agabe akevesh, that's one case. This again, we quoted this Mishnah earlier, that he did it on the kevesh, on the ramp. He did the matnot dam, not where there's a yisod, that is the southeastern corner. The southeastern corner has no yisod in it, or how much of that area is a machlokes tanaim, but at least we know that corner doesn't have any yisod. And based on that, you would, if you put the matnot dam there, that would be a lacking in the zrikat dam, which has to be keneged yisod. So that would be problematic. If he did that which should have been below chuta sikra, above chuta sikra, that which is above the chuta sikra, lemata, below the chuta sikra, those which go on the mizbach, azahav, or on the parochet, or between the ben abadim, and you did them bachutz, bachutz, or you did that which was on, supposed to be on the mizbach, it's on bifnim, im yesh dam nefesh, yakzor, akasher, v'yikabel, if there's dam nefesh, you take the new, you do a new kabbalat adam, and you redo the whole process. Now remember, this is all being done by psulim. Rashi says over here, we say yakzora kasher v'yikabel isviralan de psulos eshirayim. Now, if you hold like the daya in the previous parak who says that a psul does create this problem, if a psul gets it to the mizbeach, then it's over. Meaning that because the mizbeachs collate the dam to make it that it's over. This korban's over, even though it didn't work, but it's over. Then ashminan haytana de shalom bim kamo lav kim kamo dami. Then this tana must believe that when you do it in the wrong place, it's no good at all. So therefore, the psul putting it in the wrong place does absolutely nothing for you, and that's why you can go back and be mekabel the dam. The other possibility is that you believe shlo bim komo is kim komo dami, that when you put it in the wrong place, it's as if you put it in the right place, but a psul that does it, someone who is psul that does such a zrika, has no impact on the karban whatsoever. So you have to have one of the two aspects here. You have two things that are problematic in this part of the Mishnah. One is that it's a pasul that's doing it, and number two, it's done in the wrong location. So one of those two has to make it that the korban has no meaning in what he did, because that way a kohen can go back and redo it. If you feel that both of his actions are meaningful, then the korban's already done. It reached the mizbeach, and so, yeah, it was done wrong, and it's no good, so now you can't go back and try to rectify it. It's only if what they did was totally unacceptable, do we say that the kohen can go back and fix it. So what are the two possibilities? Either you say, when you put it in the wrong location, it's no good. That's one possibility. Or the other possibility is when a psul does it, not a kasher, somebody, Yisrael, goes ahead and does zrikat adam on the mizbeach, that that's considered to be zero, nothing at all. It's as if he threw water on the mizbeach. It has no effect on this karban whatsoever. So one of those two factors has to be true in order for the kohen to be able to rectify the korban at that point in time. All right. So now the Gemara says, our Mishnah says, shachato dievedin l'chatchilolo. Our Mishnah sounds, kol psulim shish shachtu, right, at that point in time, if they did the shechita, then it's okay. Implications are, l'chatchilolo, they shouldn't be doing this. Then, v'riminu, v'shachat, and by the Korban, it says, v'shachat, shechita b'zark sheira. When it says the word v'shachat in the Torah, it means that the shechita can be done by a zar, because we know the shechita is good, zarim es nashim uvadim etmeim. And over here it's saying shechat shechita b'zark sheira is l'chatchila. It sounds, do the shechita, no problem whatsoever. So Gemara says, oh, inu elo b'kohanim. Says, oh, maybe not. Maybe you should say that the shechita is not good with zarim, that a kohen can do it. Amar, t'vachi ma'ayin bato. Wait, where are you coming from? Why would you ever think that shechita only can be done by kohen and not done by a zar? Why? Because the pasuk, when it talks about shechita, does not say v'shachat ha-kohen. Oh, the other avodot, it says v'ikrivo b'nei aron ha-kohanim. So over there, by Hikrivo, which you know is Kabbalat Adam, this specifically demands that there be a Kohen involved. By Shachat, the word Kohen does not succeed the word. So if you have that, Shachat could be anybody. There's no V'Shachat HaKohen. V'Shachat HaKohen, then you would say there's a demand for Kohen. So Gemara wants to know, what's your Havamina that you would demand Kohenim by Shechita? So he says, Michlau Shenemar, because the Pasuk says, V'atau V'necha Yitcha Tishmeru Et Kunatchem L'chol Devar HaMizbeach, because you, Aaron, and your children will be in charge of everything that has to do with the Mizbeach. Yocholav Shechita, so everything surrounding the Mizbeach, maybe the Shechita, which is one of the four avodot that you need for a Korban to get to the Mizbeach, maybe it will be subsumed. Tamalomar V'shachatet Ben HaBakar Lifnei Hashem. We have a Pasuk, and that's what this Braita was teaching us. It says, V'shachatet Ben HaBakar Lifnei Hashem, no word, no mention of a Kohen. Shachat, anybody does the Shechita. Although, the next thing is, V'ikrivu b'nei Aaron ha-Kohanim. So we know, we learned in the previous parak, that V'ikrivu, we have a Mesorah, that V'ikrivu is Kabbalat Adam. And from that we determine, V'kabbalah ve'elech mitzvat kuhuna. The demand for the Kohanim to be involved in the Korban is only from Kabbalah and onwards. Limeit. So the obvious implications from that are, anything prior to Kabbalah, which is Shechita, Kshera b'chol Adam. That's Kasher b'chol Adam. But nevertheless, now we're at the question. The Braita told us how they get to this limud, that Shechita is Kshera by Zarim, and not by Kohanim. But the main factor that we're after in this Braita is that they're saying the Chachila is Kshera b'Zarim. Not like our Mishnah, which phrases it in a b'di'evit or a lashon b'di'evit. This Braita phrases it in a lashon l'chachila. So Gemara says, "Hu adin da'afilu lechatchila nami." True, lechatchila would be fine. Why does our Mishnah use the lashon b'di'evet? Shum dekavai lemitna tmeim, because by tmeim lechatchila lo gzeiro shem yiguba basar. That makes sense, right? You mean that other zarim, where the psul is a psul a goof in them, then we understand that fine, that lechatchila they could do. Where the psul is a psul of tuma, and you have to create a scenario in which you don't come into contact with the basar, you could see room to make a gzeira. You know, let's not do it this way. It's not the best situation for a tamei to be shochet the korban. If he does it and doesn't touch the korban, it will be kshera. But let's not lechatchila ask tameim to come in and do shechita. That they use the lashon of b'di'evet because of the tameh, and that's why they phrased it not because of the other three or the other individuals that are mentioned in the Mishnah, which would be the chatchila like the braita that we brought, but rather it's just for that one scenario of the tameh that we use that lashon of shachatu. So Mar says, "V'tameh di'evet shachardami." Why are you so certain that a tameh b'di'evet can do this? V'raminu. It says in the pasuk, "V'samach v'shachat." Samach being smicha, when the person, individual, bring a korban, as the smicha places his two hands on the korban and then does vidui. V'shachat is the shechita. Mas smicha b'tohorim, av shechita b'tohorim. Just like the smicha has to be done b'tohorim, also the shechita have to be tohorim. We'll have to get in a second. Why does smicha have to be done b'tohorim? But smicha, he does place his hands right on the beima. So he puts back, literally, on the beima. Puts it on his hands on the beima. So we have to see why. Ah, right, so there is no tumma, why it's still alive. But why is there a demand for Torim by smicha? That's the question, which the Gemara will address in about 1 second. Alright, so avshkita v'sarim. So Gemara says, you know what? Midrabonon. That's only a din derabonon. So again, the gzera derabonon that we don't want tumayim to do this. So Gemara says, mashna smicha. What is the difference between smicha and shechita? Why is smicha do right do we demand Torim? And shechita, we only demand that midrabonon to be Torim. Dichtiv lifnei Hashem. Because the smicha says, by lifnei Hashem, that has to be done lifnei Hashem, so that would make a demand for teorim. As to where in the Torah it says lifnei Hashem by the smicha, happens to be a machloket arishonim over here. Rashi claims over here that it has to do with the hekesh of shachat v'samach. The pasuk says, v'shachat et ben abakar lifnei Hashem, v'ikrivu bnei Aaron ha-Kohanim et adam zarku et adam mizbech saviv asher petach ol moed. Right before that pasuk, it says, v'samach yado al rosh ha'ola, v'nir tzolo lechaper alav. So Rashi, actually on the top of the next amud, says, that's what tells you. Since you have to do tekef le smicha shechita, that smicha happens immediately before shechita, then the only way to have lifnei Hashem by the shechita is to have the smicha be done inside where you would do the shechita. So if there's a demand for lifnei Hashem by the shechita, and there's a demand that takeif immediately prior to the shechita there's smicha, then the smicha must also be lifnei Hashem. And that's Rashi's source over here. On the other hand, Rashi in the last perek
in Perek Batra of Zvachim, according to Tosvos, says that the source for the fact that there's a Lifnei Hashem by Smicha actually comes from the Par Kohen Mashiach. Because the Par Kohen Mashiach, it says, Ve'vit Par Petach Omoid, Lifnei Hashem, Visamachet Yado. Al Rosh Par, Vishachat the Par, Lifnei Hashem. So it says the word Lifnei Hashem twice. Once to bring a Lifnei Hashem and do the Smicha, and the other times with the Shechita to do Lifnei Hashem. That's what Tosfos claims Rashi wrote in the last parak. He brings a question on that, which is the obvious question, makes it difficult, is if just because by Par Kohen Mashiach there's a demand of Lifnei Hashem, that may not be true of all other karbanot, because the Par Kohen Mashiach is a chatot ha-pnimiyot and has a higher level of tusha, so maybe that's not applicable. If you actually go look on Rashi, on Kuf Yud Tet Amud Bet, Rashi does not quote that as his source, and Tosfos also brings the Torat Kohanim, which says the same thing as Rashi says in the final parak, and that has to do with the pasuk before in the Ola, in Perek Aleph of Vayikra. It says, "Im Ola Karbono Min Abakar Zachar Tamim Yakrivenu El Pedach Omed Yakrivo Tol Lirtzono Lifnei Hashem." And the next pasuk begins, "Visamach Yado Arosh Ola." So the juxtaposition of the Lifnei Hashem in the previous pasuk and the Samach is what teaches us that there's a demand for Lifnei Hashem by Smicha. That's what Rashi says in Kuf Yud Tet Amud Bet, as well as what Tosfos here quotes from Torat Kohanim, from the Midrash Halacha on Sefer Vayikra. So there are one of three ways to get to Lifnei Hashem by Smicha, either Par Kohen Mashiach, which is very difficult, or from the fact, as Rashi points out over here, that you need Smicha to be Tekef right before the Shechita, and since it says Lifnei Hashem by the Shechita, it will also apply to the Smicha. Or the third way, which is Tosfot from Torat Kohanim, and Rashi in the last parak here, which is that the word Lifnei Hashem comes right before the word Besamach by the Korban HaOlah, and therefore that juxtaposition tells us that Lifnei Hashem also applies this by Smicha.
Shechita nami aktiv Lifnei Hashem. Shechita has that same demand of being Lifnei Hashem. So why shouldn't Shechita have the same demand for Torim?
In the Azara.
Efshar, David, Sakin, Aruka.
No, the truth is, the Lifnei Hashem has the same demand. The same demand that Smicha be done Lifnei Hashem, which is a demand for Tara, so too Shechita has the same demand. It's just that Shechita is a technical out. What's the technical out by Shechita? I can use a really long knife. A really long knife I can do outside. I can be standing outside the Azara, and my really long knife can do the Shechita inside the Azara. So here as a Tamei, I don't have a problem anymore, because I can do the Shechita while I'm totally outside of the Azara. I don't have to enter the Azara. On the other hand, if I'm doing Smicha, and I have to get my hands physically onto the Behemah, there's no way for me to do that with a Behemah that's in the Azara, unless my hands are inside the Azara. So I have to enter the Azara in order, I mean my hands do at least, I have to enter into the Azara in order to do the Smicha. So that's what Mar says. The Efshar, the Ovid Sakin, Arukah, V'Shachit. So the Mar says, Smicha Nami Efshar, Demal Yodei, V'Samich. So why? By Smicha also, he doesn't have to enter his whole entire body into the Azara, simply has to put his hands into the Azara. So Gemara says, Kasavar, let me explain to you this breita, Bia b'miksach ma'biyah. That this Tana believes that entering the Mikdash, even in a partial sense, is considered to be a problematic entering of the Azara. So here's the solution to our problem. We have Shechad and Samach, which both require Lifnei Hashem. Lifnei Hashem means that the Be'ema has to be in the Azara, and the Avoda must be done inside the Azara. Now the Avoda, the person who's doing the actual Avoda doesn't have to be there, but the Avoda itself has to be done. By Shechita, I have a solution, which is to get a really long knife. The Tamei stands outside the Azara and does the Shechita in the Azara. On the other hand, when it comes to placing your hands on the Be'ema, even if he's Kibat Paro and his hands extend all the way into the Azara, that's not going to help you, because we say Bia B'miksat Shma Bia. The fact that he puts his hands in is already problematic in terms of a Tamei entering into the Azara, and because of that problem, he can't do Smicha. So therefore, Smicha will be a problem De'oraita. Tum'ah will be, by Shechita, will only be a problem Dirabonan, because he has a solution. The Raita said he has a solution, he can use a long knife. Dirabonan, we don't want you doing this because of the possibility. You'll want your hand will go in, the possibility that you will be Metamei de Bekodesh. Either one of those reasons will make a good enough reason to say Dirabonan, we don't want you doing that. That's one. Rav Chisda mat eibcho. Rav Chisda had the Braita in the exact opposite direction. It says, Visamach v'shachat. Ma shechita b'torim. Just like shechita must be done b'torim, af smicha b'torim. So too smicha must be done b'torim. Ma shnia shechita dichtiv lifnei Hashem. What's the demand for torim by shechita? Because it says lifnei Hashem. It says smicha nami. Smicha is the same thing, which is it says lifnei Hashem. But it says, Efshar d'ma'al yodei. By smicha, there's a way to get around the problem. All he has to do is stick his hands in and do the smicha. Obviously, in Rav Chista's understanding of the bright, that he believes bia b'miksat, loshmei bia. That's not a problem. So therefore, when you stick your hands into the yazara, you're not breaching the walls of the yazara b'tum'a. So that's not a problem. So you can do smicha b'tara and not violate lifnei Hashem. So my says, "Misamich shchita nami." I have a solution of shchita also. Efshe David sakin aruka b'shachit. You can do the long knife into the shchita. Gemara says, "Amani." The author of this mishnah is Shimon HaTimani. This is Shimon HaTimani, which is Shaul, your question just before. Shimon HaTimani, the Tanya, b'shachat et abakti ben abakar lifnei Hashem velo ashochet lifnei Hashem. The Tanakhama believes that when it says b'shachat et ben abakar lifnei Hashem, who has to be lifnei Hashem? The ben abakar. The animal has to be lifnei Hashem, but the shochet, he doesn't have to be lifnei Hashem. There's nothing in the pasuk that indicates the shochet has to be lifnei Hashem. It's just v'shachat to shchita on a ben abakar that is lifnei Hashem. Whereas Shimon HaTimani believes, like you were suggesting, Shaul, Shimon HaTimani omer minayin shiyu yadav shel shochet lifnim min hanishchat. How do I know that the hands of the shochet must be further in than the nishchat? Tamalomar v'shachat et ben abakar lifnei Hashem. Shochet et ben abakar yehei lifnei Hashem. The one who's being shochet, the ben abakar, also has to be lifnei Hashem. The question in the pasuk is, when you do lifnei Hashem, what is it modifying over there? Right. Is it just referring to the ben abakar that has to be lifnei Hashem? Or the shachat, the shchita, has to be lifnei Hashem? Meaning the shchita, the shochet who is doing the shchita, must also be lifnei Hashem. Now it's not so simple, because the word still is v'shachat. The pu'ula must be lifnei Hashem. It does not say v'shochet in the pasuk. But nevertheless, Shimon HaTimani is reading that the shachat, the pu'ula, done by the shochet, must also be lifnei Hashem. It's not the simplest interpretation of the pasuk. I don't think it's so obvious, just because it's modifying v'shachat, that also means shochet. But that is the drasha of Shimon HaTimani. And then, when Shimon HaTimani makes such a drasha, now you have a demand, not only that the ben abakar is lifnei Hashem, but also that the shochet is lifnei Hashem. Now that will explain the braita according to Rav Chista. Rav Chista says, I have the word lifnei Hashem that tells me it has to be done with a tahor. So now I have shchita and I have smicha. I say shchita is done by tahorim, and it has to be done, it can't be done by a tamei. But smicha can be done by a tamei. Wait a minute, why not? So the answer is, Shimon HaTimani says, shchita, the shochet must be inside the azara. If you're tamei, you can't be inside the azara. So that's why by shchita, no good by a tamei. Ah, smicha. Smicha, you don't have to be inside, your hands just have to be inside. And we said, bia b'miksat, lo shmei bia. When you come in partially into the azara, that's not considered to be bia. It's no problem for the tamei to stick his hands in and do the smicha. So therefore, when it comes to the shchita, that I have lifnei Hashem, that's a demand that it be done d'oraita by a tahor, not a tamei, according to Shimon HaTimani. Smicha, I don't have that from the pasuk, because it says lifnei Hashem, I can do that with my hands just in and I'm fine. That's what the drush is. B'shachai v'samach tells you, just like shchita b'torim, so too, smicha b'torim. And that'll be even d'oraita in this case. It doesn't have to be d'rabbana, that might even be a din d'oraita. The hekesh of shchita to smicha teaches me, just like the demand by shchita be done b'torim, so too the smicha has to be done b'torim, even though technically, midoraisa from lifnei Hashem, I wouldn't have that, because he could just stick his hands in. It could be it's also d'rabbana, like we said in the previous case, that smicha midoraita could be done by a tamei, it's just midorabbana, and it goes there that it shouldn't be, because bia b'miksas, maybe he'll step into the azara.
From the lesson of Shimon HaTimani, it sounds like shchita can also be done where the shochet is outside the azara and just reaches his hand.
I mean, that's pretty difficult to have just his hands inside and not his body inside. Michal, you can have the head of the animal right there. Here, he says that your hand has to be further in than the behemah. That's been the other side of the behemah.
Why is he saying it that way, though? Why is he just?
Because he's saying that there's a sequential order in the pasuk. It's v'shachat and the ben rakar, both lifnei Hashem. So the shachat is first, then the bakar, and they both have to be lifnei Hashem. So the shachet has to be lifnei Hashem closer, more lifnei Hashem than the ben bakar. That's what I think he's saying. It's not clear. His drasha is not so clear. I'm just, based on what I see that his shita is, I'm telling you what I think he's darshaning in the pasuk. So now the Gemara says new memra, which is Amar Ula Amar Ish Lakish, and this will take us through the rest of the daf. Tomei sheichnis yadol lifnim lokeh. A tamei that sticks his hands into the azara, malkot, shenemar, b'chol kodesh, lo tiga. Makish bi'ah l'negiyah. That b'chol kodesh lo tigah or l'mikdash lo tovo. That you can't come into the mikdash and you can't touch. So if you have those, we saw this hekesh back in Shavuot when we then with tumat mikdash u'mikdashav. So here you have a hekesh between negiyah and bi'ah. So now what does that mean? Ma negiyah b'miksat shman negiyah. Just like negiyah, doesn't matter how much you touch. By definition, negiyah really is always partial touching. So if you do a partial touching, that brings the tumah. So to over here, a bi'ah b'miksat shma bi'ah. So therefore, any entering into the Mikdash, no matter how small, will cause you a problem of Tumah entering the Mikdash, and you get Malkot for that. Eitvei Rav Oshia, the Ulos, Rav Oshia challenged Ula's position. Mitzora, Shechal Shmini Shelo Li'ot Be'erev HaPesach. So you have a Mitzora, whose eighth day is on Erev Pesach. A Mitzora on his eighth day, what's the classification? Let's think about it. He's Tamei for 7 days. He had to go through the process of Tara for 7 days. He goes to the mitveh on the seventh day. Sun sets on the seventh day. He is Tahor the Gamri. He is what's classified as a Mechusar Kippurin. All he has to do is bring his Karbanot on the eighth day. Now the Mitzorah bringing his Karbanot on the eighth day is not just Karbanot. He also has the Shemen that he brings. And the Shemen that he brings is placed on his head, as well as a Behonot on his thumbs and his big toes. So he has to be, not only does he have to come to the Azara and have his Karbanot brought for him, he needs to be a part of that process. The oil and the dam have to be placed on him. So he is going to have to be present, and the dam hasham, as well as the oil that he brings, are going to have to be placed on his behonot, on his thumbs, and his big toes. So for that part of the process, he has to have a part of his body inside the Azara. So even though he's a Mechusar Kippurim, and technically he can't enter the Mikdash, we know that, as the Gemara tells us in other places, that Shar Niknor, the gateway, the eastern gateway into the Azara, was lo nitkadesh, was not kadosh for the Mitzoraim. So they could stand in that gateway, in the depth, you know, I mean, a gate in our day, we don't talk about a door, which is not very thick. We talk about a gate in their day, there's thickness to the walls that is entering. So he's allowed to enter that thickness of the walls and get right up against the Azara, and just stick his thumbs in to get the oil placed on it, and his big toes as well. So that's what the Mitzora is able to do. So now his 8th day is on Erev Pesach. He has a Chiyuv Karet, and his associate would not bring in Korban Pesach. So he wants to bring his Korban Pesach. We saw in the previous Perek, that you can have your Korban Pesach brought on your behalf. There they had a machlok, is about Tumat Sheretz. Some are Tumat Sheretz, Zorkin or not Zorkin Alav. But over here, by the Tumat Mechusar Kippurim, he's going to Korban out, it's going to be brought, it's no problem, and we can get him in time to eat the Korban of Pesach. So that's the simple part of the case here. So Metzor Shechal Shmi Shaleo Be'er Pesach, V'ra'ah Keri Bo Bayom. So in addition to being a Metzorah, it was not his day, he also had a Riyat Keri on Erev Pesach. Vitaval. And now he also went to the mikveh. So now what is he classified? As far as the Mitzorah is concerned, he's classified as a Mechusar Kippurim. As far as the Keri is concerned, he is classified as a Tvol Yom. A Tvol Yom is someone who's going to the mikveh and is just waiting for the sunset to come on that day. Once the sun sets, he's automatically Tahor. So that's what he did. He went to the mikveh. So it's not only is he a Mechusar Kippurim, he's also in addition to that a Tvol Yom. Amru Chachamim. Even though no other Tvul Yom is allowed into this area, he's allowed to go into the Mikdash. Mutav yavo asei sheyesh bo karet, vidche asei sheyin bo karet. Better come along an asei that has karet associated with it, and should knock off an asei that does not have karet associated with it. Well, let's talk about the two aseis we're talking about. The asei sheyesh bo karet is easy. That's korban haPesach. Korban haPesach is a demand to bring Pesach. If you don't bring the Pesach, you're chayav karet. The other asei that we're speaking about here is the asei of shiluach tmeim. The requirement to have Tmeim sent out of the Machane. Now this Tvul Yom, we have a demand that you send the Tvul Yom outside of the Azara. So if you have a Tvul Yom that demands to be sent out of Azara, that's an Asay. So Tvul Yom is not allowed to be there, that's an Asay. He has to bring a Korban HaPesach, that's an Asay. Well, the Asay with the Korban HaPesach has Karet associated with it. The Asay by the Tvul Yom does not have, that he's not allowed to enter, that does not have a Karet associated with it. So that's what Gemara says. Let the Asay of Karet the Pesach be Doche the Asay of Shiluach Tmeim. And the underlying assumption of this Brayta at this point in time is that a Tvul Yom Dezav Kezav Dami. There's one sighting of a Zav, two sightings of a Zav, and three sightings of a Zav. One sighting of a Zav and a Balkari in the Torah are equivalent. A bal keri in one setting of a zav, or keri, there's just too much yom, we go to the mikveh, everything's over. Setting by a zav, two settings of a zav is a 7-day tara process. Three settings of a zav is a tara 7 days plus a karban at the end. So here, the Gemara is assuming that this tvul yom here is a tvul yom of a zav. And therefore, a tvul yom of a zav has a din like a zav. So now he's going to come to put his hands into the azara to get be mitahir him according to the process that is meant to be done to the mitzorah. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Rabbi Yochanan argues and says, no, Dvar Torah, afilu aseyin bo. Forget about the lav, there's not even an asay here. Shinemar, because I'll tell you why. It says, Vayamod yo shofat bekal yudav yushalayim. Shofat is standing in the kal yudav yushalayim. We actually saw this earlier in Horiot, that there was a gzerah, derabonon, that was established at that time in the story by Yoshafat. It says, Vayamod yo shofat bekal yudav yushalayim bebeit Hashem lifnei hachatzer hachadasha. My says, what's Chatzer Chadasha? My Chatzer Chadasha. Rabbi Yochanan Shechidshu Badvarim. He created a new halacha on that day. What was the new halacha they created? Vamru Tvul Yom Al Yikanes L'Machane Leviya. The Tvul Yom is not allowed to enter Machane Leviya. And that is only a din derabonon. So here we're talking about it, not even talking about a din deoraita. We're only talking about a din derabonon. The Gemara says, Viya might be a mixed Shema Biya. If you're talking about it, be a b'mixah shmei b'ya, eichi ma'al yodei b'bo note. Then, idi ase sheish bo karetu. If that's the case, now you're both running into a problem of karet. So let's talk, I'm going to explain this. In the midbar, you have a mishkan. And you have the machane levi'a that's around the mishkan. And then you have the machane Yisrael, which is around the machane levi'a. There are three machanot. Different types of tumah require sending out of different number of machanot. For instance, tumah tmeit is only required to be outside the machane shchina. Only has to be outside the machane shchina. Tumah zav has to be not only outside the machane shchina, but also outside of machane leviyah. And then you have tumah mitzorah, which has to be outside of all shlosh machanot. So the equivalent in Yerushalayim. In Yerushalayim, the machane shchina is the equivalent of the azara. Not the Ezrat Nashim, but just the Azarot. Ezrat Yisrael, Ezrat Kohanim, and the Kodesh of the Kodesh of Kodashim. Those are classified as being the same as the Machane Shechina. Machane Leviya in Yerushalayim is the equivalent of Harabait. Anything in Harabait and the Ezrat Nashim, they're all classified as being Machane Leviya. Yerushalayim itself, or any walled city in Eretz Yisrael, has a classification of Machane Yisrael, and a Mitzorah has to go outside of those areas. So now, I have someone who is a Mitzorah Mechusar Kippurim, who's now allowed to enter into everything except the Azara. Mechusar Kippurim by a Mitzorah, Mechusar Kippurim can enter everything all the way up to the Azara. He may not enter the Azara until he brings his Karbanot, but he's allowed to put his thumbs and his toes in. That's the rule, that's the Torah prescribes for us. On the other hand, now, I also have someone who's a Bal Keri, and he's a Tvul Yom for Keri. So now the Tanna Kamma believes that a Tvul Yom for Keri, and I say that he must be thrown out of the Machane Leviya. He believes that a Tvul Yom Lezav has a Din Bezav. A Zav must leave the Machane Shechina and the Machane Leviya. So that's a requirement that he be sent out of that Machane. So therefore, over here he says, I have an assay against an assay. And as Rashi points out over here, the requirement to be outside of the Machane Shechina comes with the Chiyuv Karet. You go into the Azara, you go inside the Machane Shechina when you're not supposed to be there, there's a Chiyuv Karet. The requirement to be outside of the Machane Leviya is only a violation of the assay. There is no Chiyuv Karet that is associated with the requirement to be outside of the Machane Leviya. So therefore, according to the Tanna Kamma, who is requiring this Balkari to enter into, through the Machane Leviya, onto Harabayit, all the way up to the Azara, is in violation of the Aseh. He's not Chayav Karet yet, because he hasn't entered into the area of the Azara. Rabbi Yochanan says, there's no Aseh even here, because I believe the requirement of a Tvul Yom to leave the Machane Leviya is only a Din Derabonon. Because Rabbi Yochanan believes Tvul Yom Lezav is not like a Zav. He's not a full size of a Zav. It's a Tvul Yom of Keri. Tvul Yom of Keri is different than a Tvul Zav. Zav has to leave the Machane Leviya. That's the Aseh that we're talking about. But a Tvul Yom of Keri, he has his own status, and that's only a Din Derabonon, he's not allowed to be there. But, according to both the Tanna Kamma and Rabbi Yochanan, what do you see? The problem over here is simply an assay that the Tvul Yom either cannot be in the Machane Leviya midrabanan, or the Tvul Yom of the Keri cannot be in the Machane Leviya deoraita. It's an assay. But what they don't say over here, both of them do not suggest that there is a lav or a problem, an assay from the Machane Shechina. By the Machane Shechina, there is karet. If you enter into the Machane Shechina when you are either a Tvoyom for Keri or a Zav, you get karet. So now, I have this Mitzorah Mechusar Kippurim that's all the way up at the door of the Azara. He's in the Shar Nitnor. Sticks his thumbs in, he sticks his big toes in. From the Mitzorah standpoint, he's totally fine. The Torah gives him a dispensation for that. But from a Tvoyom standpoint, whether he's a Tvoyom Zav or Tvoyom of Balkari, whether you think Machane Levi'ai has an essay to be thrown out Derabban or Deraisa, everybody agrees by Machane Azara itself that that's a din of Kores. You may not enter the Azara, Kores. So now, let's think about this. He sticks his thumbs and his toes in. According to you, Ula, who say, Bia b'miktat, Shmei Bia. He just didn't say that there's a chiyuv karet. So that's the question on Ula over here. What do you mean in the Braita that it's an assay of no karet versus an assay of karet? According to you, you should have an assay of karet versus an assay of karet. The assay of karet is to stick your thumb and toes into the Azara when you're a Tvoyom, whether for Zav or Keri. Assay of karet, the Pesach. I don't understand the Braita according to your Shita or Amar Ula Meshulakish. So that's what the Gemara says now. V'yamart bia b'miksat shma bia. If you think that going in partially is considered bia, heichi ma'al yodei be'onot or be'onot yodei. Either one, he puts in his toes and his hands. Idi v'idi asei sheish bo karetu. Both of them are a din of karet. So why? What do you mean the Mishnah is saying? Oh, the asei of karet overrides the asei of in karet. You have an asei of karet and an asei of karet. What are you doing over here? Just as an aside, it's very interesting. You had a Braita, and you have Rabbi Yochanan arguing on a Braita. Rabbi Yochanan is a Amora, and you have a Braita which is dealing with the Tana. So Tosfos drags that up right away. He says that Rabbi Yochanan Bali Frushe Braita Ka'ate. He's coming to explain the Braita. Velav Lefluge. He can't be arguing. Rabbi Yochanan Lav Tanohu. Rabbi Yochanan is not a Tana. Even though in other places, Rav and Rabbi Yochanan are contemporaries. At certain points, I mean, he's probably a little younger than Rav. The Gemara says in other places, Rav Tanu Poliku. Nevertheless, the Gemara never says Rabbi Yochanan Tana Upoliku. They never give Rabbi Yochanan that status of being able to argue as a Tana. So Tosfos says we have a case where we have Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, they both have a problem with the Braita. By Rav, they say Tana Upoliku. By Rabbi Yochanan, they come up with an answer. So you see that the Gemara doesn't believe that Rabbi Yochanan can argue. So you have to explain here that Rabbi Yochanan is coming to explain the Braita and not argue on the Braita. Or the way Rashi explains it is that the Braita believes Tvul Yom of a Kibal Keri is a din of a Zav. And whereas Rabbi Yochanan believed that Tvul Yom of a Keri is not like a Zav. That's a Machloket Tanaim somewhere else. And Rabbi Yochanan could just hold like the other Tano. So you either have to come up with another Machloket Tanaim that Rabbi Yochanan is subscribing to, and that's how he argues on the Braita. Or you have to say that Rabbi Yochanan is explaining the Braita and not making it that he's arguing on the Braita. Alright, so now the Gemara continues, and Ula responds, Amalei mitunach. Tunach is a masa, like a, carrying a heavy load. From the load that you dumped on me, I'll dump it back on you. You brought me a question from something, I'll use that question to prove to you that I'm right. Which is, shiny mitzorah. Mitzorah is different. Holio v'hutar l'tzarato, hutar l'kirio. Because since he has, it's a migo. Migo that even though technically he should not be able to enter his thumbs and his toes into the Azara as a Mitzorah, nevertheless, there's a dispensation in a Torah. So that dispensation, if it works for Mitzorah, also works for Keri. That's the migo. The migo is once we're already avoiding, not avoiding, but voiding Tumah for this individual with occurrence to his thumb and his toes, we also void it, the Gabe Keri. There's no Tumah. We just say that it's waived. It's generally waived for this individual. Tosfos adds an additional dimension to this over here and says that the fact that the Braita said that the only time it works, this combination of Keri and Mitzorah, is only when the Keri happened on the eighth day. On the eighth day of Mitzorah, he saw the Keri. That is because of this Migo. Because he's Mutar because of the Mitzorah, he's also Mutar because of the Keri. Because if you really believe that Bia B'miksat is Loshmei Bia is not a problem whatsoever, then even if he saw Keri on the seventh day or the sixth day or the fifth day, it should be no problem on his eighth day to come and put his hands and his toes in to get the dam and the oil on it. The fact that the Braita only brought the example where he had Keri on the eighth day shows you that the only heter here is the heter of the Mitzorah, which is dragging along the Tful Yom with it. But not because of Bia Mitzat Loshmei Bia. It must be Bia Mitzat Shmei Bia, and that's why it was on the seventh day or the sixth day or any other day, it would be problematic. It's only because the Keri happened on the eighth day do we have the dispensation from Mitzorah. So Amar Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef says, well, from Uver, Kasavar Ula. So let's say from Ula we can conclude. Ula's Chiddush here, that if a dispensation is given to the Mitzorah, it also applies to Keri, I can bring other conclusions here which are going to be interesting. Which is one, Ruban Zavin, They were rov of Bnei Israel at that time were Tamei Tumat Zav. That means that generally they would be Nitche the Pesach Sheni. Because Tumat Zav is not Doche Tum'ah with regards. Remember, you have to think about it. We had this in the previous parak. Which Tumat Bitzibor is Doche is only true by Tumat Tameit. Because the Pasuk says, Ish nitcheit the Pesach Sheni. When it comes to a person who is Tamei, an individual is Tamei, cannot bring his Korban to Pesach on Pesach Rishon, he is nitcheit, he is pushed off until Pesach Sheni and brings his Korban to Pesach then. That's true of an Ish, but not of a Tzibur. The Tzibur is not pushed off until Pesach Sheni. The Pasuk is speaking about Tumat Tameit. And since the Pasuk is talking about Tumat Tameit, this is all true by Tumat Tameit. The individual is pushed off to Pesach Sheni, the Tzibur is not. When it comes to Tumat Zav, both the individual and the Tzibur are pushed off to Pesach Sheni. They don't have that limud of Ish Velo Tzibur because that in the Pasuk, or that Dik in the Pasuk, is only referring to Tumat Ameit. By Tumat Ameit, there's a het there by the Tzibur to allow them to come do it bitumah. But that doesn't apply by Tumat Hazav. Now I have Rovat Tzibur is Tamei Tumat Zav. So now the din would be, if the Rovat Tzibur is Tamei Tumat Zav, what would the din be? Wait to Pesach Sheni? You're not going to do it on Pesach Rishon, you're going to wait to Pesach Sheni. But after that, they also became Tmei Meitim. So, because of Ruben Zavin, we're not saying Tmei Meitim. Now, Ruben Zavin is both Tmei Zav and Tmei Meit. Hove Huchel the Tumatan, Huchel the Zivatan. Why don't we use this principle that Ula just stabs and say? Well, Migo, that Tumata Meit is Doche Pesach Rishon, Tumata Zav should also be waived for Pesach Rishon. If you say that when you have one wave, in terms of Tumat, it waves everything in Tumat. Do the same thing here. You're waving Tumata Meit, so let's wave Tumata Zav as well, and they'll bring the Pesach Rishon. Samalei Abai, Midomi. The cases aren't comparable. Tuma ishtarai, zivalo ishtarai. Your case is different because of the order in which it happened. In our case over here, he was a mitzora first, and then a balkeri second. Therefore, when you wave the tuma of the mitzora, you also wave the tuma of the keri. In the case that you brought by the Korban Pesach, what was he first? They were first zavin, and then only afterwards were they tmei meitim. So the tmei meitim, when you wave the tmei meitim, that doesn't affect the zav. Because he was a Zav first, and then a Tamei Meit. So fine, the Tamei Meit is fine, but he was already Tamei before that with Tumat Zav. That's not the same situation. It would only be the same situation if the first Tumah is the one that's waved. The original Tumah is waved, that helps you with the second Tumah. So of course, the Gemara is just going to ask, what flipped the case? If you flip the case, then you have that. So, Delma, Imarmalei, Delma Ochi Kamar Mar. So maybe this is what you meant to say. Ruban Tamei Meitim, Vinase Zavin. Have them be Tamei Meit first, which would be waived for the Pesach, which would be waived on Pesach Rishon, and then only afterwards they become Zavin. Hov Uchru the Tumatan, Uchra the Zivatan. Now I have the exact same case as us. Mitzora, then Keri. Mitzora is waived, Keri is not. And Ula says, well, if the Mitzora is waived, so too is the Keri. By Korban Pesach, Tumat Ameit is waived, and you bring the Korban Rishon, Pesach Rishon, Bitum'ah, and then he waves Zav afterwards. Well, if I'm going to wave it for the Tumat Ameit, let me wave it for the Tumat Zav. That would be the conclusion. Amalei in. Yes, that's the case. So Amalei, Vakati Lodami. Wait a minute. That's not the same case either. Mitzora Hateirohu. Hov Ishtare Ishtare. Mitzora is Hutra. The Torah tells you in the process of Tara for a Mitzora, he's got to stick his thumbs and his toes in. There is a blanket heter. There's no Isser. And we say, oh, just, he can do a little bit like this. That's not what it is. If the Torah says do this, that means you do it. There's no Isser whatsoever. So therefore, when we say Mitzora, Mitzora is not that it's a Dchiyata Tumah. Tumah is waived in this case. It's Motra the Gamre for him to stick his thumbs and his toes in. But when it comes to Tumah Tameit, Tumah Dchuyahi, Lahai Idchai, Lahai Lo Idchai. By Tumah Tameit, on Korban Pesach Rishon, we don't say that it's Heter Gomor. There's no Tumah whatsoever. We know, we say, if you're Tamei in this instance, we still allow you to bring the Korban in that situation. So we allow you to bring the Korban in that situation because the Tumah is Nitchet, is pushed off. Not that it's Heter Gomor. So when we say the Tumah is pushed off, that means Tumah Tameit is pushed off, but not Tumat Zav. That's the Bayek answer. There's a difference between Tumah Hutra B'tzibur and Tumah Duchuya B'tzibur. Hutra means it doesn't exist whatsoever. Tumah Duchuya is that it's pushed off. So by the Mitzora, it's Tumah Hutra. It's totally Mutar. But totally Mutar, that can also waive the Tumat Keri. By Tumat Tameit, by Pesach, that's Duchuya. We waive it in this case. It's not that it's Heter Gomor. We say, okay, even though you're Tamei, do it. B'diavad, just go ahead and do it. So now, that case, that's true of Tumat Meit. That's not true. We can't waive the Tumat Zav as well. That's the first answer. Amalei Rava, Adar Abba. just the opposite. Ibcha mistabra. The logic is backwards. Mitzorah eterohu. Mitzorah, you have a heter gomor min haTorah. Heter gomor min haTorah. L'ha ishtare, l'ha lo ishtare. When it comes to Mitzorah, we say the Torah says this is the process of Mitzorah. There's no Isser whatsoever. But by Keri, we don't know such heter in the Torah. So by Mitzorah, it's mutar. By Keri, where do you get such a heter? But Tumat Meit is also min haTorah. To bring a carbon pesach with Tumat Meit is also min haTorah. Tumat Chuyahi, Mali Chad Chuyah, Mali Shtei Dechuyot. If you're going to wave Tumah, wave all Tumah. I mean, it's not that it's Heter Gomor, it's like we're going to let you be the Eved do it. If you're going to wave Tumat Meit, you may as well wave Tumat Zav. Gemara says, just in conclusion, Mechlal Dotervayu, whether you learn like what Baye just said in Ula, or whether you learn like Rav over here, both of them agree that Tumah Dchuyah Yibitzibor. Our conclusion over here is that when it comes to Korban HaPesach, this is a machlokas in the Gemara and Pesachim, whether Tumah is Hutcher Bitzibor or Tumah is Dchuyah Bitzibor. When we allow the Rav Bitzibor to do the Korban HaPesach with Tumah, is that Heter Gomor? Or is that Tumah just waved, meaning that it's Dchuyah Bitzibor? Biggest Nafkamina, for instance, is do we attempt to do it Bitara? Do we attempt to do it as best as possible, or is everything waved? If everything's waved, we just say, go ahead, do it Bitumah, we don't worry about anything. On the other hand, if you have it that it's Dchuyah Bitzibor, then we say do as much as possible to minimize the Tumah over here. Let's minimize these situations. For instance, another Yachid is bringing his Karban, should try to do it Bitara. If he's not Tameh Mate, he should try as best as possible to do it Bitara. If we say it's Hutra, Hutra means carte blanche, that you can do whatever you want over here. So the conclusion from both of them is that Tumah is Dchuyah Bitzibor, based on their statement that when we're talking about Korban HaPesach, it's Dchuyah Bitzibor. But nevertheless, we have now a situation, let's just go back and review. We have Ula making a statement that Bia B'miksat Shma Bia is a problem of Malkot. We have a Braita that makes it sound like Bia B'miksat is Lo Shma Bia. So the Gemara says, how do I reconcile between those? The Gemara says, that's not a problem. I have a waiver. I have a waiver that by Mitzorah there's a heter, so too the Keri is a waiver. So I have this waiver. Now Ula says that, and Rav Yossi says, based on Ula I can bring other conclusions which don't seem to be so logical, but nevertheless we would say them. Baye and Robo disagree about whether the principle of Ula really applies. When you have something that's Hutra, like Mitzorah, can you apply it to other things and take them things along with it, like the Bel Keri? Ula needs that in order to not be in a stira with the Braita that we brought before. So Ula and Rabbi are going to believe, yes, you can apply Hutra to other applications. If it's Hutra and Mitzorah, it's also Hutra, and it helps you by Bel Keri. Rava disagrees with that. Rava says, no, Hutra is unique to that specific Aloch. If Mitzorah is Hutra, that's the only thing that's Hutra, nothing else is Hutra. So that would be the principle of Rava. So they disagree about, over here, whether you can reconcile with the Braita based on the principle of whether Hutra Bei Mitzorah also applies to Bel Keri. According to Ulan Abaye, yes. According to Rava, no. But the common denominator between them is that they believe Tumah is Dchuyah Bitzibor. Because when it comes to talking about the Tameh Meit by the Korban HaPesach, everybody agrees that we're talking about a case of Dchuyah. The only machlokas is which is better. Is Hutra better or Dchuyah better? Does Dchuyah take things along with it, or does Hutra take things along with it? But they both agree that when it comes to Tumah Tzibor, it's Tumah Dchuyah Bitzir and not Hutra Bitzibor. So that's what the Gemara concluded over here, that's Tumah Dchuyah Bitzibor with all the nafkaminot associated with it. But as far as the machlokas that still stands between Rava and Rabaye is whether you can apply that Hutra of Mitzorah to Bal Keri will determine whether Ula can reconcile with the Braita or not. Abaye tries to reconcile by using the Hutra, whereas Rava will say, no, I don't think that works, and therefore he can't reconcile Ula with the Braita.